Reading from Matthew chapter 9, verses 35 through 38. And Jesus went throughout all the villages and cities, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom and healing every disease and every affliction. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion for them because they were harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. He said to his disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray earnestly to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our God stands forever." Thank you. Please be seated.
In just a moment, I'm going to invite the mission team to come up front. And before I do that, I just wanted to point out something about this passage. Really one thing. We see Jesus is boldly going throughout all the land. He's proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom of God, which is to say he's proclaiming good news about himself, that God sends himself to us to rescue us. Now, the great thing about this is that God then calls us to be those to go out and to take that message to others. And not far away, right here at home, we can proclaim. And he says lastly here in this last part here, he says, the harvest is plentiful. It's ready to be reaped. People are ready to hear God's word and ready to be changed by God's word as his spirit directs. But the problem is that the laborers are few. Too few of us are neglecting our responsibility right here at home to go out into the harvest and to reap it, to go out and proclaim his word. And so as we hear from these folks who responded to a call to go down to Reynosa in Mexico, I pray that we will consider and examine our own hearts. How are we right in our own families, in our own homes, proclaiming the gospel? How are we in our own jobs proclaiming the gospel? How are we in our own communities proclaiming the gospel? And run it throughout everything that you do, your sphere of influence, wherever it is. Because I tell you, as Jesus says, the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. So let us stand together and come together and pray earnestly for Lord to send people out into the harvest. So let me pray for this team as they come forward to share, and then I'm going to invite Stuart and the rest to come on down. So let me pray. You guys, if you want to make your way down, that's fine. I'm going to pray for them while they're coming down. You can see they had a great team. Quite a few went. Okay, let me pray for these folks and for our time of hearing from them. Father, we thank you. We thank you that you sent your son on a mission to save his people. For we are like sheep without a shepherd, and we need the great shepherd. And we thank you that you sent him to us. And I pray, God, that we would respond to his call, that we would ourselves go out into the fields, for they are ready to be harvested. And I thank you, God, for these who have gone out into the field of Reynosa. And I thank you for the harvest that they experienced there and the fruit that they were able to see and the seeds they were able to plant. And I pray now that as we hear their words of how you are at work, that our hearts would be softened, our hearts would be ready, and that we would receive their words and know that you, God, were at work and are at work, not only in Reynosa, but right here in Union County, Illinois. May you be praised and glorified. And we do pray, Father, send out more. Send out more right here at home. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm going to invite Stuart, the fearless leader, and also one of our ruling elders, to come up and begin things here. Thanks, Stuart.
Good morning. First, I want to bring you greetings. Desiderio sends his greetings and his love to you. You remember last summer when Desiderio and Noemi and Josue came to visit us. That was a really significant connection. When we brought them here, they felt a strong pull of love from this church. And we pretty much became sister churches with them. And I suspect that we are probably the only evangelical Presbyterian church in the United States that has a sister church as a little Baptist church in Reynosa. I'm confident of that. But they consider us sister churches. And this, you'll hear from this team this morning and later on in after the dinner this afternoon what you are accomplishing through that little church down there. It is amazing to see what you guys have done down there through your generosity. This church sent us down there with $3,500. We were joined by two other churches. This is not the whole team. There are four other people that were with us. Three people from the Detroit area and one from Seattle came to be with us. They brought along $2,500. That goes a long way in Reynosa. And through your generosity and the generosity of Christians in the United States, the gospel is being spread. The kingdom is spreading in a really difficult place down there. You see the team up here, but there were some people in the background behind this team. We all had prayer partners this week. Mine was Glenda Goldsmith. Is Glenda here? There's Glenda. Thank you, Glenda. Would all the prayer partners stand up, all of you who were our prayer partners this week? This doesn't work without prayer. And I can tell you there were a lot of prayers that were answered this week. We saw little things happen. I'll just give you a brief example, and then I'll sit down. On the way home yesterday, we left the camp at 8 o'clock in the morning, and it was pea soup fog. We're driving, and we're making our way back to the border. Well, when you get to the border, it's pretty confusing. There's stuff. There's turns. There's trucks are going here, and cars go here and things go here, and you have to get in the right lane to do the right thing. So we're driving in this fog, and you can see the signs just as they come, you know, when the fog is that thick. And of course the signs are in Spanish, and I'm driving and I'm trying to figure out which lane I need to be in. Well, I realized pretty quickly that I was way in the wrong place. I was in the truck lane, and we had a plane to catch, and if we were stayed in the truck lane, it probably would have taken us till the afternoon to get through it. So I just stopped, and this is a quick prayer to God. We need to get out of this because there's nowhere to go. So we made a U-turn in the truck lane and went opposite the trucks and got back. That's God's protection. And your prayers made things like that happen. I'm going to sit down. I'm going to let people share, and then I'll just say something briefly at the end. So Jeff wants to share.
Buenos dias. Me llamo Jefe. So I want to start out this morning by thanking you all. I'm going to thank a few people specifically that have impacted me directly. I do want to thank Beth, my prayer partner. Appreciate it very much. Cheryl Parlow, you were on our prayer list down there. And you encouraged us so much with your communication with us, and you were truly, truly a blessing to all of us, and I thank you. I want to thank Lowell and Joyce. I know they're not here, but they support me so much in every way on these trips, and I can never begin to thank them enough. So I want to thank Andrea. Andrea Burnett, she translates my cards for me every year when I go, and I appreciate that very, very much as well. I know I've said this in our Sunday school class, but I'm going to say a few of the same things again. For anybody that's ever been a part of these groups in the past in any way, you are still very, very much a part of each group that still goes down there. Your prayers, your financial support, your previous trips, your hard work, all of that has built something so special down there. And we were just privileged to be a part of the seeds that have been sown in the past, because the ministry is flourishing. God is using what has been done in the past in a mighty, mighty way. So, who was Jim Harris's prayer partner? Gary. You had your hands full this week, I'm sure, and next year, you might want to make that a group effort. Our prayers were with you as well. So, but Jim was phenomenal on this trip. He always is. And I just want to say, if you ever get a chance to spend a week with Jim, don't do it. Don't do it. God has some beautiful, beautiful ways that he reveals himself to us. Congratulations, you two. That's one of those ways. He reveals himself through his word. You can go outside and you can see the sunshine and you can see God in that. And the week that I have the privilege of spending each year in Mexico, I get to see how he reveals himself in a special, special way. If you get a chance to spend some time with these kids, if you get a chance to spend some time with the groups that go, if you get a chance to spend some time with Desiderio and the church down there, it's just a very, very special way that God opens my eyes every year to who he is, how great he is, and just what all he has in store. So I thank you again, and just can't wait to hear what the others have to say.
This was my first trip to go, and I have to thank the team last year that went. You moved me in ways that I never thought could be moved until I actually went this year. My eyes were open in more ways than I ever thought could ever be. They have so little, but yet they are so grateful. Their hearts are so hungry and raw and pure, and that's the way we all need to be. In Lay Renewal, they said, what would it happen if we had a church that prays in my small group? And I said, it would change the church. They have a church that completely prays and prays for you as well as for us down there. And they fed us lunch every day. And I'm not just talking a single serving. They just engorged us. We had daily morning devotions before we would go into Reynosa when we would leave the camp. And Jennifer Aspen, you're an awesome lady. And she spoke about faith and deeds and how works without faith and faith without works are completely empty. You have to be faithful and God-led to do what you're doing, and it's not going to matter. It might help the person next to you or help you personally, selfishly. But unless it's God-given and God-led, it will change your life. I want to give you a scripture that I don't have. I forgot who. I think maybe it was Tammy this morning. John 12:24-26. I tell you the truth. Unless a kernel of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it remains only a single seed. But if it dies, it produces many seeds. The man who loves his life will lose it, while the man who hates his life in this world will keep it for eternal life. Whoever serves me must follow me, and where I am, my servant also will be. My Father will honor the one who serves me. We all should serve him. And I have a lot of people to thank the church, a giving church that we have. We've done so much down there before I ever have went. And to see what we've done down there is astronomical to them. My prayer partner was John Haas. The first morning we got these little cards given to us at breakfast. And it says, John Haas is praying for me specifically this week. And it says a verse of Romans 12:9-13, let love be genuine. Hate is what is evil. Hold fast to what is good. Love one another with brotherly affection. Outdo one another in showing honor. Do not be slothful in zeal. Be fervent in spirit. Serve the Lord. Rejoice in hope. Be patient in tribulation. Be constant in prayer. I give that to you. Be constant in prayer, especially for the people in Reynosa. They need it. But we've all been changed. And I thank you very much. And without Kathy Swafford, I don't know if she's here, I wouldn't have been able to go. And John Huey and Kim, you're awesome people. I thank you. I didn't know I was going to be able to go. And they came through at the end, and I don't know how to ever thank you. Thanks.
This is one of the few times I get to say I'm a newbie. This was my first year to go. And honestly, I've struggled with even wanting to really talk about it, to tell you the truth. But you'll be surprised. I will try and keep it under 30 minutes. And of course, I just want you to know that most of it's going to be all about me. So. First of all, I really want to thank Hannah. She was my prayer partner, and I felt prayers, and I thank you. I also, Kent and I would never have been able to go if it had not been for my parents. If you want to see a miracle, look around you. Last year, Kent was supposed to go on this trip. He could not go because I was in the hospital. With depression, anxiety. And a year later, I have just come back from a week in Mexico. So God is good. Steve every night would ask us questions. We teased him about he was going to make us think, and we didn't really like it. We weren't there to think. And his questions would be how God has prepared your way, how God, what has God done through you today, what has God done through others today, what has God going to do with your future? And I have to confess, many nights I spaced out and didn't really pay attention because I didn't want to think about it. But God actually truly prepared me probably more before I went on the trip than even on the trip. I still have issues with being in crowds sometimes, and church is one of my tough spots. So there are a lot of times I actually avoid church. It's not the people of church, it's just the whole idea of crowds. A few weeks before we left, the deacons were supposed to be ordained. And guess who didn't come to church that day? my husband. I came by myself that day. Now, anybody who's a mother will know that sometimes when you go to church, you don't hear a thing. You are busy thinking, people, don't touch her, don't sit here, straighten up, be quiet, don't do, just the... So that day at church and Sunday school, I got to listen. And I got to listen the whole time. And God just kept smacking me on the head like the V8 moment on commercials, just, you know, or like Donna. Ken said before we left, what's your anxiety? What are you anxious about? And I looked at him and I said, until that day, I was, the whole thing was kind of anxious. And I said, now I'm anxious about nothing. I'm not anxious about the trip. God's taking care of it. And for the first time, I'm excited to get to go on the trip. And I got to experience I can't say I didn't have a relationship with God, because there were times this past year where I cried to God. I could not pray. I could not say words. He heard me. He held me. I felt him. I knew him. He was there. But it just gave me a chance beforehand. God prepared my soul. And I said, if I don't even go on the mission trip now, he has done his work. I felt prepared before I went. God changed me and just worked on a relationship, pulling me closer before we ever left. And if we had not even gone on the trip, I'm not saying I'm unhappy I went on the trip. And I'm very thankful for everybody who prayed for us and supported us. But God definitely worked on me beforehand. And I would encourage all of you, and this is one of my struggles, and this was part of my devotion in James chapter 2. Chapter 2 talks first about who we bring to church and how we would treat them. And it kind of, and I'm going to summarize it. This was my Bible this week. I'm old, and so I think it's a miracle that I could read it. And I did. But, you know, it talks about if a rich man came into church, we would sit them down at the best spot and we would give them the best spot. And if a poor man came to church, we would say, here you go, you can sit over here and do that. And I have learned this week that the poor men have as much to teach me, maybe more, than the rich man. So I would really encourage that. You would also be amazed by the people here. It amazes me that Cheryl, who's had her knee replaced and all, could go and would go and work. That poor Jaime, surely you are an angel. But that he goes and he puts up with us as children. I love Jaime because I'm a child to Jaime. But, that he would go and work and put his effort out is a testimony to me as well. So later at lunch, you'll hear stories about what we did and all. But I just wanted to thank you all and let you know that you don't have to go to Mexico to experience God. Okay. Thank you.
Good morning. This was my first time going, and I'm used to a pretty comfortable life. I live in comfort. I'm alone when I want to be alone. I have conversations with people that understand me sometimes, and I understand them. And so embarked on this trip. I want to thank Pat Miller for being my prayer partner. I'm sure you prayed hard because it was necessary. Thank you very much. It's hard to step out of your comfort zone and not know the language and not know what to expect. And just want to say it's really worth it. It's worth it to go. It's worth it to stretch yourself, to risk, to know others. I'm thankful for a few things especially that have been on my mind. I'm thankful for good parents. The parents down there were wonderful. They took care of their children at all times. All of this dusty environment, I mean really, really dusty, and in the Colonia where we went, Pedro, where one of Jeff's families is, just complete mud, almost lakes in the road, really, really tough to get even a car through. And here are all these children and all these people, clean shoes, clean clothes, clean hair. As Steve pointed out, you know, when something is precious to you, you take care of it. This is a really good experience to see that people who have a very subsistence level of living take care and value their children. I came to value pastors. Pastor Jonathan, as soon as we came back to Praise Band this morning, he had some really great music to play that praised God and talked about how the worship service here is tweaking it a little bit so that there's more praise of God. Pastor Desiderio, first day we were there, we went to church in his church. They don't have heat in their church, and they have hard benches to sit on. There was witnessing, great witnessing and praising of God and Jesus. And we were able to praise together with them. The body of Christ, made up of churches everywhere. Steve's church in Detroit, Pastor Steve, you know, he led us every night, bringing things together. Body of Christ is important. We strengthen each other. We strengthen each other in this church, in this group. Everybody that I went with, every single person, I had a chance to value them in their relationship with God and watch them all week. I mean, every single one of you. Thank you so much. I spent the first couple of days thinking, I don't even deserve to be in this group. You know, I'm not doing this right. I can't talk to anybody. And then really just kind of asked Jesus to be with me in my relationship, and he was there all week. There was a lot of praising going on all week, a lot of wonderful music and wonderful fellowship. And we moved back to Anna because of the fellowship here with all of you, and we really love you. And we love the way that Jesus is worshipped and praised in this church and in Desiderio's church. Last thing I want to say is on the very cold day, which I think was Tuesday, it was much colder than it ever gets down there. People don't have heat in their houses. So, you know, when it's cold, it's tough. And at the end of the day, Desiderio, who spends his days worrying about the people in his church, but also transporting his children everywhere to school. He's got kids going to this school, that school. He's running everywhere. They're bringing us food every single day. Every single day, his church brought food for us for lunch, even though they don't have much. I mean, it was wonderful food. We ate so much down there that, you know, we ate a lot. And it was wonderful what he did. And so on that day, at the end of the day, I noticed, you know, I just looked, and he was so tired. He just looked tired. He didn't act tired, but he just looked really tired. And somebody had brought a space heater up. I think there was two, one little one, one big one. It didn't matter. It was still really cold. This is a big old room. And anyway, he looks out the window, and he sees a girl standing on the corner. I don't think she went to that church. She may have, but I don't think so. And he opened up the windows, a little slide window, and he called to her. And he said, come on up. And he did it a couple of times, and finally she did. And she came to the top of the stairs, and he brought her over, and he stood her by the heater. So that's the kind of thing, the kind of little thing that made this week really beautiful. I want to thank this church for being generous in everything that we were able to do down there and to leave for them. And God bless you. Thank you.
just tell you a little bit about my process. I signed up to go on the trip, just kind of, yes, I want to go. And then after that, it hit me what I had done. And I did not have a good attitude going into this trip because it was, I'll never make it. I've got two artificial knees. I've got two rods in my back. There's no way I'm going to physically be able to do this. I'm not even sure I can get through the airport. And I'm just here to tell you, if you have doubts about your ability to get through this trip, these people that go every year will take care of you because they took care of me. And we started out the week cold and shivering, and we ended up the week hot and praising God. The last day I worked on VBS, and I was very concerned about the fact that I can't build things. I can't hammer nails straight. There's nothing I can do on the building side. And so they put me into the VBS side, and I worked on that, but I knew there was going to be a good part of the day spent on building. Well, I did not have to build at all. So if you're concerned about not having the talents to do what they're doing, things emerge. They just do on these trips. Every person who didn't know what they were supposed to do eventually found something that they were supposed to do, either in relationships with the kids or and the builders, of course, were putting in a kitchen. They put in a kitchen. We started out the week so cold, and we ended up the week so hot. And the last day we were singing these songs in Spanish, and Suzanne had done a wonderful job of getting all the songs together and having cards so that we could read them, and the kids were really, and everything had motions, and we were all doing I Can Only Imagine, and you know, when we were singing that song the last day, I looked around at our group and everyone was glowing. Everybody was praising the kids and the workers alike. And Desiderio said that they were Baptist downstairs, but they were Pentecostal upstairs. So I do want to say a little bit about the people of Mexico. They are so warm and so welcoming. Even the people who weren't in the church. Of course, the church knew we were coming. They had prayed for us. They were there. But even the people we passed on the street, it was, hi. They smiled and waved. And they didn't say hi. They said other things that I couldn't understand. I hope it was. But I really, this time, we got into the community. There was a block and couple of streets, and we actually, like, we'd be working on VBS things, and if you wanted to wander off by yourself, you could go down the street to Desiderio's, you could go down to the stationery store, which was didn't have a lot but had a few things. There was a little store across the street where you could go and get drinks and things, but we all wandered all over that neighborhood the whole week and felt comfortable. And the people there just wanted to see us, and they wanted to talk to us. Even the kids would stop us. And one group of kids stopped some of us one day, and they were very proud of the fact that they could say, "My name is," in English, you know. And so it was really just a very moving experience for me, because I went from being totally negative, which I tend to be too much sometimes, to being totally positive and feeling that God had really done a work here. Desiderio was a remarkable man, and there are a couple of things we do need to pray for him. I was standing out on the balcony. Their church takes up every inch of the lot they're on. So they have no land around it, but there's a lot behind that's kind of a mess right now. But he said, pray, pray, put his hands together. He wants us to pray that they'll be able to purchase that lot. They don't have the money now, but I would like all of you to pray that the church in Reynosa will find the way to purchase that lot. And he couldn't say my name. He tried. Cheryl just baffled him. And so I became sister. So, but anytime anything came up, it was pray. He prayed. And so just remember the people in Reynosa. And the other thing I wanted you to pray about was he is in a kind of association of churches, and there are four churches now without ministers. And when I saw that scripture up there about the needing workers for the harvest, pray that those churches will get ministers, because there are people who are hungry and want to hear, but no one to tell them. And I do want to thank Courtney for praying for me, and I really felt the prayers of, I know there were several of you, because I asked everybody I saw to pray for me, because I didn't think I'd make it through this thing. The beginning of the positive side for me was when Leslie Santillano made coloring pages for all the stories we had. She drew them for us. And that's when I began to look up instead of looking in. So, thank you.
Do I need to switch? Okay. I don't want to get teared up. I have a lot that I want to say, but I can't do it. I just can't do it. And I can break this. Let me just take this. No worries about the tears now. First thing is, when we got back, on the back of my cart said, "Go back to Mexico." So, Brad, thank you for that. It's so hard to put into words what we experienced during the week. There are no words to do it. To sum up the week, Suzanne and Steve have a grandson who's 2 years old. And he had been wanting to Skype them all week because he was missing them. And so Aaron, his mom, was trying to explain to him that they were on a trip and they were in Mexico and that they were telling people about Jesus. And so a couple of days later, Aaron asked him where they were, and he said they were on a trip. And she's, and she asked him what they were doing. And at 2 years old, he said, "They're seeing Jesus." And that's what we were doing. And I'll tell you more later, but that's what we were doing. And go. Just go. You don't have to go to Reynosa. You can go in your backyard. You can go down the street. You can go to Kroger. Fix your eyes on Jesus. See the people around you, because they are helpless and they are harassed. They are confused and they are lost. We don't want to see it because it reminds us that we are too. But Christ is the answer, and you can see him every day of your life if you're willing to step out of yourself and out of your comfort. And I have plenty of stories to share, but just hear that and hear that scripture. And my prayer is that your eyes would see and your ears would hear and your hearts would be receptive. And there is no more stand here, so.
Yeah, that's what it's about. A couple things that some people mentioned that you may not have understood. Typically when we're down there, we stay at a camp, and we eat breakfast, we talk, we have a morning devotion, then we drive into the city, and usually we take lunch with us in a cooler. It's ham and cheese sandwiches, peanut butter and jelly sandwiches, chips, stuff like that. They pack a lunch for us. Because you can't drink the water in the colonia, so we take water, we take lemonade, we take all our food with us. And then we come home in the evening and we eat supper at the camp. Well, I got an email from Desiderio. And Desiderio, bless his heart, when I'm emailing him, my Spanish is marginally functional, but his spelling, he spells phonetically in Spanish. And so for me to even try, you know, I can... trying to grasp what he's telling me is difficult because I'm trying to really read not only Spanish but phonetic Spanish. And I got an email from him shortly before we left I sent him an email to ask him what time the church service was, and I got everything but that. But what he told me was they wanted to feed us lunch every day, and I'm thinking they have done that in the past. They fed us a lunch. It's a big special thing for the church to feed us one day. And he was saying, no, we want to feed you every day. So when I got down there, I said, do you want to maybe do 1 or 2 days? No. He said, we have been planning this for months, and he's been working on this. That was their gift to us, to feed 20 people lunch. And so there were different women in the church each day that took that upon themselves to make food and bring it to the church and feed us. And it was a fabulous time of fellowship, but it was a big sacrifice for them. And that was our gift. That was their gift to us. And we actually had a discussion later in the week about, we have some funds left over, what do we want to do with them? And one of the suggestions was, well, maybe we should pay these ladies for the food, because that's a big expense. And I said, no, I don't think we should do that. That was their gift. They wanted to do that for us. They wanted really badly to do that for us. And they did that. So when you hear about these lunches, that's a huge thing. Even though, you know, for us it's lunch, that's a huge thing that was a gift that they did for us. I shared in our Sunday school class, and I'm just going to kind of briefly try to wrap this up. We've been going down there now for 20 years. This church has been instrumental in building every building in that camp. But before that even happened, God was at work in his plan, making this trip happen and making next year's trip, and whatever it is that we're doing is all in God's plan of redemption for us, for the people down there, for all of his people. And I've been doing this a lot of years, and I still am seeing what God is doing. And I kind of described it in Sunday school this morning as like a jigsaw puzzle. And this is God's plan. And it started way back. Well, it started at creation. God knew what was going to happen. He knew what was going to happen this week when he created the universe. And I can look back on the years that we've been down there, and I can see pieces of this jigsaw puzzle falling into place. When Suzanne first took a group of high school kids down there, they met George. Then George took on this mission. Then George met Aaron Bierman, and Aaron Bierman said, I have a vision for you to build this camp. And then we went down and we built this camp, and then we stayed at the camp, and then we worked. The camp got finished, and then we started going into the colonias, and then George wanted us to work with a pastor named Jose Luis about 7 years ago, and we did that, and then Jose Luis left, and by this turn of events in God's plan, we met Pastor Desiderio. And you see what has evolved. And what has happened is, now there's this church that is coming, this structure that's forming in this neighborhood, and people in this neighborhood are seeing it. We walk up and down the streets down there, and there's a man who washes trucks every day. He's got semi-trucks parked in this yard, and every day we would walk past him, and one day he stopped me, and he said, "What are you guys doing walking up and down the street every day?" And I said, "You see that church at the end of the street? We're working down there, and the pastor lives over here, and so we have to go past you, you know, several times a day because we're going to his house and to the church." He said, "Oh, okay," and he went back to his work. Well, Friday, when we left Desiderio's house, we were carrying our tools down that street. He was in one of his semi-trucks. He was kind of maneuvering it inside this lot, and he honked his horn and waved at us. And I said, "He knows something's going on. I don't know if he'll ever go to that church, but there's a little kernel, there's a little seed there that God just planted in that guy's brain. What are these Americans walking up and down the street doing here?" So we're putting these little pieces of this puzzle together. I don't know, well, I do know when this puzzle is going to be finished. I don't know if it'll be in my lifetime, but I look back and I see parts of the puzzle coming together, and God has a plan for way down the road when this puzzle is finished, and that puzzle is the face of Christ. And that's what Tammy was talking about. When that puzzle is finished, we're going to see Jesus, and that's his face. And he's using us, and he's using you. We're all a little part of this puzzle, and we're all broken. And without each other, we can't make a puzzle. But all of us together, all of us little broken people, Christ, God is using us to complete this puzzle. And it's going to be the face of Christ. So thank you for your prayers and your support and making all this happen. And thank you for being part of the puzzle.